The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. We do not have story time this morning, but our ushers will be glad to help any children get a piece bag with some different activities and coloring to enjoy.
May my words and the meditations of all of our hearts bring honor and glory to you, O God. Amen. Year, as we enter the back-to-school season, I'm reminded of how it felt to anticipate the end of summer and to resume life as a student. Many of my school memories are gratifying, while some are unsettling. One aspect of going back to school that I have no desire to revisit is the experience of standing in the gymnasium as teams are being chosen during physical education class. I see I'm not alone. A teacher would designate two captains who took turns selecting members of each team as the whole boys' gym class watched. I waited as those more popular, self-confident, and physically able than me would be picked until only two or three of us, those not as outgoing and athletically inclined, remained as the last or next to last chosen. I was consistently among the last, no matter what game was being played, soccer, baseball, relay races, even in games like basketball and volleyball, where you might think height would give me an advantage. I played as good-naturedly as I could, but I was an unathletic kid who struggled to fit in. This label stuck from my middle school through high school years, making the hours spent in gym class seem uncomfortably long and anxious. Gym class can foster self-esteem, collaboration, discipline, and a healthy competitive spirit. I would go on to discover those qualities in other aspects of life. But only an especially sensitive gym teacher could design a class where every student can flourish and feel like they belong. My experience of gym class is a reminder of how challenging it can be to build a team in which all contribute to a common goal and feel affirmed in the gifts we bring. Team building is an essential aspect of every group endeavor. And we, as the church, have been making it a priority since the beginning. Every Sunday, in the midst of our personal challenges and the world's deep divisions and struggles, we reiterate our mission to live God's love. We are constantly working to build and nurture a team to carry out this work, looking to our faith tradition for encouragement. This morning's Bible readings might not seem like the first ones to turn to for inspiration. Bear with me. But each offers the voice of a passionate team builder trying to bring the faithful together for the sake of spreading the gospel. In our first reading, the unknown author of the letter to the Hebrews tries to bolster the spirits of a weary and discouraged community. They are likely Jewish converts to Christianity living in first century Rome, a tiny minority facing suspicion, hostility, and persecution in the surrounding imperial culture. Being a Christian in such an environment is hard and potentially hazardous, and they have nearly ceased to function as a team. The message they receive, actually more of a sermon than a letter, admonishes them not to give up. The preacher reminds them that by faith, their ancestors overcame trials, afflictions, and hardship to stay together as God's people. A long line of forebears kept faith alive through trying times, and they still wait for God's purposes to be fulfilled. This great cloud of witnesses is counting on the new community to run with perseverance the race that is set before them, advancing Jesus' ministry to make the kingdom of God real on earth. In these verses, the team builder invites us to imagine a great relay race of the faithful, with each generation passing the baton to the next in an always forward-looking mission. The metaphor as faith as a race to be run might not seem apt for us all. I often look to my faith life not as a race, but as a resting place, an opportunity to stop running and lean on God for comfort and strength. Yet, before Jesus' followers were known as the church, their movement, our movement, was known as the way. Discipleship has never been about staying in one place for very long. There's an urgency about moving on the way together as a team to make the gift of Christ's presence felt in all places. Jesus communicates this urgency in the foreboding words we hear today in Luke's gospel. "I came to bring fire to the earth," he says. "Do you think that I have come to bring peace? No, but rather division." A decision to follow Jesus is a dangerous one. It means rejecting the status quo, challenging the values that govern the world around us, and expanding our understanding of who our family is. I'll admit it's a stretch to regard Jesus' stark and confrontational message as a pep talk to rally the disciples. I'd think twice about signing up for a mission led by such a strident team builder. Yet in Jesus' time, and a generation later in Luke's, the need for change is widely felt. A wealthy and powerful minority flourishes, while a poor and powerless majority suffers oppression, reinforced by the prevailing political, economic, and religious order. In these harsh words, there is good news. As Jesus dismantles structures that burden and exploit the people, the reign of our merciful God will unfold. Jesus' followers face risks and setbacks, but through faithful faithful witness, they and we would be part of the liberating, reconciling, life-transforming change that Jesus brings about. Jesus' team building appears to produce mixed results. His disciples prove timid and unreliable in his hour of peril. But Jesus has chosen a team not for a sprint, but a marathon. His criterion for selecting team members has nothing to do with popularity, social skills, or physical strength. Unlike a gym class team captain, Jesus looks at us not to judge our ability, but to discern our availability. Our readiness to trust and follow him makes us precious assets to the team, no matter what other characteristics we bring. With all this in mind, what's next for our team? Unlike first century Christians, we're not at risk of rejection or punishment for our religious beliefs. Our congregation isn't struggling to survive and stay together. Indeed, we've completed an ambitious capital campaign to support a vibrant ministry for years to come. And soon, we'll welcome a dynamic new rector to lead us. Yet, we, like our spiritual ancestors, gather in anxious times. In our city, nation, and world, opportunities to flourish are woefully unequal, and mercy seems to be in short supply. People here and around us are experiencing loss, disruption, and fear due to federal policies that are long on displays of power, but short on empathy. With the influence of religious institutions on the wane, what difference can one faith team make? Will our continued perseverance in the race that is set before us make a difference and matter to anyone? Yes, my friends, yes. It matters to every person whose life is touched by the love of this community. In our pastoral and justice ministries, and in our advocacy for change. It matters to neighbors with whom we share hospitality in our water ministry. It matters to refugee families seeking a better life. Here among us today are team members who just yesterday helped a refugee family move into a new home. It matters to our youth and adults who serve others here and beyond these walls, and to the new friends they meet on the way. And it matters to all of us who, in times of celebration and times of setback, know that we're not alone, that God's Spirit is flowing through our companions in faith, past, present, and yet to come, who form the great cloud of witnesses that surround us. The saints of our lives continue to bless and to root for us as we strive to spread God's love and justice. What helps us to keep persevering? For me, it's the evidence I can see and feel that when I follow Jesus, even timidly and unreliably, my life is changed, blessed, stretched, enlarged. And on days when I might struggle to persevere, I receive bursts of energy and hope from you, fellow team members, on this marathon we might call the Jesus Invitational. It helps to remember that no one wins or loses this race, and no map is needed. The writer of Hebrews doesn't call on us to finish, only to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus to plot our course and lead us forward. Reflecting on life as a Christian, theologian Peter Gomes observes, "Faith is not the triumph of individuals over evil, or even the solitary accomplishment of good, but rather a community of shared hopes and experiences, frustrations and failures. He writes, "What a thrill it was for me to realize that the whole of God's history in the world belongs to me, and that I, part of that history, belong to God." That sense of belonging, our precious part in the ongoing story of God's people, is a non-revocable reward for joining Jesus' team. Let's be ready to meet him at the corner of 42nd and Albemarle for the next passing of the baton. Amen.